The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now for our bi-weekly edition, and probably the end of the year edition here, of Vox Screen Stocks. You all right, John?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you doing, Justin?
Yeah, winter's kicking in, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I think there's many people may have resisted putting their heating on for a while, but now I'm sure they aren't. It's like I look out now the window, got frost in the window here, my office, and in the garden, we're the shadow. There's still frost on the ground. In fact, a friend of mine just gave me a tip. He said, by the way, it's a very good day to defrost your fridges. Pour all your food outside in the shade, and obviously your fridge inside, or freezer I mean inside, will just defrost nicely. I thought, nice tip there, but that's how cold it is. So we're looking at what screen of screens, some of the things we've gone through, and picking out some stuff we've looked at. Explain it, John, explain what's going on there.
I mean, to be honest, all I've done is go back over. So we've done the best part of 20 screens now since we started doing this. Yeah, near enough. Yeah, about 15 maybe. And so I've just gone back and had a look at what we did and what companies you and I chose from them. And just have a look and see what's been performing in the current market conditions. And it's interesting. There's been some good ones that have popped out of these screens.
Yeah. So what one stuck out, stuck out to you? In fact, I'm just looking at Devro. Wasn't that a takeover or something? Did that happen?
Yeah, Tefra. I mean, this was a safe dividend screen. We were looking for, companies that had that sort of stability behind them, the financial stability behind them, that would allow them to keep paying dividends. And Devro was one that I've known for a long time. It makes sausage skin casings,
sexy stock
stuff to make sausages. But I've always liked this company, and it's always been sort of making itself more efficient over the years, trying to expand its markets. The metrics look decent. I was happy with the dividend, and then a takeover offer came quite recently. So that's up nearly two-thirds since we talked about it in June. Incredible, really.
Yeah. And obviously, you can't predict those kind of things happening, but it's nice when it does, isn't it? I think it was Russ Moller talking to. He did hold that for a while, and I think nothing had really happened. And then he may have got out of it, I think, before the takeover happened. But you can't predict that, can you? It's impossible.
No, you can't. But this sort of makes the case for sticking with companies that you like and kind of sort of forgetting about them, because these things do happen quite regularly. Companies, they disappear, and not necessarily because they go bust, but because markets, industries consolidate over time, and inevitably, companies are involved in some kind of corporate activity. Devro, I mean, it's not going to be around for much longer. There you go.
Yeah, we're looking at some of the picks I've had. Most of them are down, to be honest. Like Taylor Wimpey, I think there's down, the future down.
The house builders, back to that in late October with the Ben Graham net screen. This is really a sort of value-based screen. We're looking for stuff that was cheap with a bit of a margin of safety behind it. And so we both went in the same week for Gleeson, MJ Gleeson.
Yeah.
On the basis that it is a builder of houses for affordable housing, basically.
Yeah. I re-looked at that this week, just putting the figures through my spreadsheet again, and it's something silly. It's like the net assets are way above the enterprise value, look at, I mean, of course there's been a worrying about housing going forward and all that stuff, but that's definitely what I'm going to put on my, it is on my watch list, and I put alerts on it in the chart to see if any uptrend starts, because it's seemingly oversold, but who knows how soft that house market will get.
It could get very nasty. And we're certainly seeing some signs out there that house prices are starting to really sort of, you know, go beyond the plateau and start to head down again. And the specific worries around the new build industry is cancellation rates. And this was something that spooked investors in Gleeson when they put out an AGM update on the 18th of November. Basically, their cancellation rates were at 20% over the first 10 weeks of the year, and they rose to 41%. So you're basically seeing people pulling out of transactions, left, right, and centre.
And also, did you see the news out about the biggest monthly fall in house prices in November? I think it's as bad as 2008, and we all know it happened around the 2008 time. So, and someone just said to me, on I think it was on Twitter, saying, "We're not a big deal, there's housing demand, we're not supplying enough, it'll go back up over time." I said, yes, it will, I agree with that, but there's a bigger fall out here than that. I mean, if people, you know, if house prices continue to go down, and we've gone through a period where it's been really easy money and low interest rates, and maybe people overstretch themselves on their mortgages, and maybe even taking out loans as well, and they get into negative equity and they can't afford that, and then the banks are on the hook as well. So it's you know, it's a bit more contagious than that, isn't it? You know.
I agree. I think it's a potentially nasty situation. Now, interesting you mentioned negative equity there. You know, you look at, you know, new builds are sold at a premium to secondhand stock, and you know they're sold with the support of the Help to Buy scheme, the government's Help to Buy scheme. And so people have been inclined to overpay, you could argue, for new build housing. So the moment the market softens, you'll have a lot of very stretched borrowers in those new build homes almost immediately sitting in negative equity, and that is a bad situation.
Yeah,
you know, that's where you have a sort of proper fully fledged property crash. Potentially. I mean, we did look at, you know, and the thing about house builders is, though, you know, you're right. There is a need to build housing. The problem is right now, there are so many financial worries that people have that you know, people are just pulling up the drawbridge and saying, right, you know, yeah, we need to move, but we're not going to do it yet. So that, you're right, it will be a value play, but when is the million-dollar question here.
Yeah, I mean, looking at my worst performer is Saeta. Longer term, I do like those, but of course, it's quite a capital-intensive you know, company, and I think they use cash of 12 million. They've got like 22, but you know, you think going forward, I think they're not forecast to be profitable until 2024, so there's maybe a shortfall there unless they get revenue somewhere else. But I do like Saeta, but it's the worst performer since I picked it, down 53%. And my best performer was U Group. It's, in fact, it hit a high today, that's up 94%. But of course, that's an energy supplier, very hot area. In fact, I've had Bobby, the CEO, on the podcast, and he's very passionate, sort of almost founder owner, which is always a good thing to look at sometimes. If you've got companies that are, you know, started by one guy with a lot of stock in the game, they're very motivated to get it right. It's so that's good. I didn't realise I mentioned K3 Capital on the 6th of July, because I've, for a while, I always look at companies that are growing, you know, with value and hopefully profitable, or have cash to get the profitability. That filter I've tweaked now, they've got to be profitable, because in this market, if you have to go to the market, you'll get your trousers pulled down pretty much, and it's not an attractive place to be. So, but I've added now momentum, and by this I mean looking at moving averages. Is the share price above 200-day moving average? And hopefully we've got the 50-day heading towards the 200-day, because that means basically, why is that happening? Is net demand for shares. You know, people are paying higher prices than the average last 50 days or last 200 days. And what I'm based on this, very strong fundamentals of two companies I bought, is Argentex and K3 Capital. And luckily, they are up compared to where I bought them at, which is unusual in my portfolio at the moment. So I think it's very important now. People, you know, looking to invest in a company, you know, a cheap company, like, for example, Gleeson, like we talked about, it's cheap, it's seemingly good value, but that can get cheaper, can't it, you know?
Yeah, precisely. Precisely.
So downtrend, massive downtrend, you know?
Now, Argentex, so after Devro, Argentex was, you know, my best pick, which came out of a quality small cap screen in mid-August. It's up 45% since then. And, you know, it was just in that sort of FX sweet spot.
Yeah.
But it's kept going. It's been a really cracking performer. It's popped out of numerous of the screens that we've run, and I suspect everyone's getting rather bored of us talking about it.
But do you know what? It's like, it's literally the margins are, you know, very strong. It's about five times EBITDA. It's not, you know, it's not overly valued. It's growing very quickly. Top line, I think the last interim was up 75% sales. But it's very, and like I said, it's not going to be seemingly affected, I don't think, from any downturn, which is very good. And same with K3 Capital. If you look at the three sections of the business. Now, the first one is business sales. And I looked at their presentation recently, and they went back over 20 years of business sales, M&A activity that they help with. And there's been no real dip, even during the great financial crash or dips in the stock market. There's always people buying and selling businesses. And I think from peak to trough, it's by 10% in the numbers. And they are the number one deal maker in that space. The second part of their business is tax structure, helping companies with tax or, you know, tax is always going to be here. It's like, even in a downturn, people have to pay tax and get their tax affairs sorted out. And the third part, which they've just invested in by acquiring another company, is insolvency. And I think, if anything, and they've said, you know, in their updates that this is, even though it's grown very well, they see it getting bigger and stronger because there's lots of red flags happening at the moment. And the thing that suppressed, they said, the growth in this area, in fact, it did achieve growth, but it would have been better, was the COVID relief sort of schemes for certain companies and insolvencies, you know, so that help from the government. Now that's removed. So a lot of these companies are teetering on the edge. And if they haven't improved in the distress levels, they may have to seek insolvency. So I think three parts of the business there, that, you know, is not, it can even prosper, I suppose, from a downturn. So that's what I like about K3 Capital, you know?
Well, I agree, Justin. I think, you know, this was why, at the very first screen we did, I picked out Begbie's Trainer, which does much the same sort of thing, you know, sort of insolvency practitioner. And, you know, for years you've had, you know, there has been a sort of approach by which, you know, lenders haven't called in their loans. They haven't, you know, they haven't been particularly aggressive to their borrowers. And actually, you know, this is going to change. We are in tough times. You know, it's interesting that K3, you know, hasn't really seen a downturn in M&A, because as I was saying at the beginning, you know, these companies, you get a turnover. It's the nature of industry. And, you know, K3 doesn't care whether they're sold expensively or cheaply. It's just sitting in the middle and it will take its transaction fees.
So,
you know, I like these sort of companies, Begbie's, K3. There was another one we looked at, DSW Capital, a smallish accountancy firm.
Yeah.
But they're all going to be busy. They're all going to be busy when, you know, the world, the financial world, the economics behind it are trickier. Companies will need more support.
Yeah, I tell you what was a shock. And in fact, the chart looked like it was good. I mean, and then all of a sudden they came up with the results. It was, in fact, the shoe fell off. It was Docs. It was literally the start to rally before the results came out, and they went up from like 240 to sort of 290, and then results came out, they dropped from 280 down to sort of 240, and now they're down at 189.
It's an interesting.
I suppose it's not a surprise because we're in discretionary, I suppose, consumer, you know. So, you know.
Well, it's sort of strange because, you know, a number of picks over the months. You know, I went for a company on 6th July called UP Global Sourcing, which basically owns brands like Salter, you know, kitchen sales, that sort of stuff. Done really well. Games Workshop, you know, had a bit of a rough time over the last year or so, but since when did we look at that? 29th of June. The shares are up, you know. What else have I looked at? You know, More Paint we looked at, which is, you know, makeup, you know, arguably quite discretionary. So I don't think all, you know, companies that are dependent, reliant on their you know, discretionary expenditure are going to be in trouble. But there's something not right about Dr. Myers. And I sort of, I looked at it before negatively, and I just, when that popped out the screen, I just thought, the shares are so cheap. And it wasn't a bit of an uptrend at the point we looked at it. The trouble is, they keep running into problems. You know, as you say, they're a little bit more expensive than, they're a lot more expensive than a lot of their peers. You know, they're very sort of, you know, fashion sensitive. You know, what I realised the other day was actually, so you can buy from Dr. Martin's own shops, or you can buy through third parties, and you can buy the same shoes through third parties a lot cheaper a lot of the time. There's something not right here.
Yeah, that's odd, isn't it? There's a lesson learned. But again, you know, it's like, even though it started literally on the chart looking so good, I mean, it rallied ahead of the results, then what happened there, and then dropped off a cliff to results. So the lesson here for me is wait for results. You know, I've seen so many companies in this environment, you know, there's been people trying to jump in before results. Maybe in a bull market you can do that, but in a bear market, it's worth waiting and just getting more information you know, running the figures just to confirm, because, you know, it may rally, but in this market, people take profit as well. So, you know, share price always comes back. But what you're doing to do is risk your capital before, you know, jump in before the results come out and then see it drop off a cliff because, you know, I've had that. As I said, you know, it's very forgiving in a bull market, but in a bear market, it doesn't at all. That's it.
No, but these shares, docks are down 50% from their IPO price, you know, so... And this was the screen that we were looking at there. It was recent IPOs, and you know, it was a tough one because a lot of recent IPOs have done very, very badly. But you know, it has a great brand. You know, it does have lots of loyal customers. My daughters absolutely love this brand, but their products are very, very, very expensive. You know, and subject to the vagaries of fashion. You know, but like I said, you know, maybe someone comes along again and buys this at some point when it's cheap as chips.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so if, you know, you had to pick one, someone said, because I know you've got a bit of cash on the sidelines there, and you've got to pick one, and it's not sort of one that you hope is going to recover in the future, but you think one that'll go, you know, that'll manage to deal in a recession or even profit from a recession, which one would you say go for? Which would you edge into?
Yeah, I mean, the ones we've done in recent weeks, I quite like both of the companies we looked at, CML Microsystems in the... In the sort of radio chip space and Severfield in a sort of steel infrastructure space. And I think both of those things are going to be really hot in the next few years. Infrastructure, because that's how, you know, I suspect governments are going to stimulate some sort of economic growth. Mm-hmm. And chips, because we've got a very strange situation going on with, you know, essentially the geopolitics of the global silicon industry have got a bit strange, and that, yeah, I think is going to help companies that are closer to home. But of all of these companies, you know, I have to go back to Begbie's Trainer. You know, I think shares haven't really motored since June. You know, it's been a bit up and down, but you know, I just still feel we are in for some really quite difficult economic times. Begbie's Trainer, and I would say in a similar space, K3, as you mentioned, you know, they're going to be, you know, their service is going to be in very, very strong demand. So I'd go back to the very beginning and say it's Begbie's Trainer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? The chart is looking, it's been a bit volatile. I mean, looking back at just from 21, it keeps hitting that 150 level. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's now just trying to do it again. Fifth time, almost, it's hit 150 and pulled back from it. But,
I can't get out of it. It's strange.
Yeah, maybe if it does break it, maybe it'll really rally. But it's not a bad thing. It's trying to break that. At least it's not. You know, when did it come? It dropped down to 99p when in March 2022, but rallied strongly back up. So who knows? If it breaks that, worth putting an alert on that, because otherwise it's just going to be in a range for a while. But sometimes you get companies hitting that resistance. The more they hit it, the more sort of, you know, momentum behind the next go. You know, so who knows? Is we are. I got to be biased and apologise, but I'll stick with K3 and Argentex, I think, because I quite like them. I think they'll do well over the next year, but other companies may suffer. I think especially K3 will probably prosper there. Happy with that. But do you know what? It's a good little podcast. I've discovered loads of stocks that are on the watch list. You know, I mean, a lot of it is about timing in the, you know, the economic markets are not, like I said, Gleeson to me, excellent, no debt, you know, really good growth up until now, pretty much, and that it's sold off massively in the last, you know, 12 months. And I was thinking, okay, when they do have a turnaround, that's, you know, house builders, that's definitely one of the stocks I'll be looking at. But right now, though, like I say, it's gone from 880 to 356, and it's literally been straight down. It's like a little stepladder going all the way going down. So it seems no end to the downturn, in fact. Yeah, no end. But I'm not going to try and guess the bottom of this. I would see it, you know, trending up and sort of better news outcome. But yeah, definitely some stocks on there worth looking at. But not quite now. That's it. You know, don't risk your capital yet, I think.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Brilliant. Well, marvellous stuff, John. Thanks for that, fella. And we'll probably speak next year, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Speak soon. Have a good Christmas.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.